Well, let's, as we start this lesson, let's turn over to Luke chapter 18. Let's look at this scripture verse, Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is impregnated with the life of God. Thank you that it's full of faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we thank you that as we feed upon the word of God, faith will come, wisdom will come, love will come, healing will come. So we thank you that as we feed upon the word of God, faith comes. So Father, we thank you today that you told us to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're so grateful for the word of God. We thank you that it is the power of God. And we're so grateful today that as we meditate upon it, that we will make our way prosperous, because you said so in Joshua 1:8. As we meditate upon it, as we mutter it, as we think about it, and we observe to do it, we'll make our way prosperous. As we act upon what we believe, we'll make our way prosperous, and we'll deal wisely in life. So, Father, we thank you that we've been born again, we're saved, we're redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus, and we thank you that the Holy Spirit, our helper, lives on the inside. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you this day for being present, not only in us, but among us. We ask you and believe that you will unfold and reveal to each one of us individually the word of God as we meditate upon it. You will reveal truth to our hearts and strengthen us and build us up. We thank you for it. And Father, we lift up this nation before you. We lift up all those who are in authority. We thank you that you're giving them wisdom. We thank you that you're protecting them. And Father, we thank you that we're asking you in the name of Jesus to give wisdom and right thinking to those who make the laws and oversee the laws of this land. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. And Satan, we address you and we bind you and forbid you to stir up problems and strife in this country. We command the spirit of peace to be released. We ask you, Father, that you will release angels to go into this government and to influence the leaders of this government to think right and speak right and make the laws right so that we'll live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, we also take the time to lift up Israel. We thank you for them. Thank you for the Jewish people. Thank you, Father, that you are revealing truth to them. And we also thank you for all of the Jewish people that live in this community here. We lift them up before you, Father, and we thank you that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts towards them. They're your people. And we ask you, Father, that you reveal truth to them. We believe, Father, that before you return, there's going to be a mighty move of God among the Jewish people. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the people in Iran. Thank you, Father, for the people flooding into the kingdom of God. And we ask you, Father, that the tensions be reduced between nations, that there be peace in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 18 and verse 27, and this familiar account here. And he said here, what did Jesus say here? He said, the things which are what? Impossible with men are possible with God. I like the New Century Version. It said, God can do things that are not possible for people to do. I like that. It just is plain. God can do things that are not possible for people to do. Or the complete Jewish and the voice, it says, what is humanly impossible is possible with God. So that means what we can't do, we can't make happen, God can do it. When it looks, when we're standing there looking at it and it is impossible in the natural, for us to do or to make happen. With God, it's possible. He can do it. He can work in the midst and make it change. That's why when people start to complain about this government and they say, it'll never change, that person is a bozo, this, that, and the other, I don't like this. With man, things may be impossible, but not with God. God can change some things. He's a heart fixer, and what do they say? A heart regulator. He can move upon hearts and change hearts, can't he? Amen. You look at people and you say, well, they'll never change. You know, they've been a nut since I've known them. You know, you could say whatever you want. Look at them and say, it just looks like they'll never change. Don't say that. You were probably in the same boat. People probably said the same thing about you. You were some kind of crazy person. I thought you'd never change. But guess what? We did change. And God moved on our hearts, and we asked him to come in, and he changed our hearts, didn't he? So don't ever look at people and see they're impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. People can change, and they will change if we pray, right? If we pray, amen. Isaiah 55, verse 8, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, that's a good place to start. Thank God his thoughts aren't our thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, I mean, we can think some pretty lofty thoughts. But the minute we think some lofty thoughts, he said, my thoughts are higher, as high as the heavens are. They're higher than your thoughts. That's pretty lofty, isn't it? So that's a humble statement right there. We need to be humble. The minute we think we're it, we got this great idea, this brilliant idea, unless it came from the Holy Ghost, his thoughts are higher, right? And then it goes on, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That means he's going to watch over his word. His word shall come to pass. He's going to watch over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. So his word will not return empty or void. It'll produce. Just like we spent lessons talking about the power of the seed. The seed will produce if we just keep it in the ground. We keep meditating on it, keep watering it, right? So when we talked, let's go over this evening. I want to look again at Mark chapter 9, at this account where this man brought his son, who was, it says, had a dumb spirit, or he had a spirit that you could say he was possessed of a spirit that he forced him in a way where he couldn't talk. But what does it go on? This is Mark 9 and verse 17 in the King James. And it said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. It just means, the New Living, it says, an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And it said, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, the man, and saith, O faithless generation, or you could say unbelieving, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Hallelujah. Thank God. But now think about this. He brings his son, and just because, you ever think about this? And sometimes we need to think about these accounts, because people say the same thing today. Just because he didn't get delivered doesn't mean, as we continue down in the rest of the story, it didn't mean that it wasn't the will of God to deliver him. Just because he didn't get results didn't mean it wasn't God's will. Everybody understand that? So you can go to some meeting, you lay hands on the sick, just because that person didn't get healed doesn't mean it's not the will of God. It is the will of God, because it's been bought and paid for. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to ask God to be delivered. You're already delivered. You just need to embrace it, accept it, and receive it, and walk in it. What does faith do? Faith reaches out to God, and what does heaven do? Heaven responds if it's in faith, right? Heaven responds. So the same thing. What happened here? Jesus never said, well, hey, you had your chance. It's over. Or it's not my will. He never said that. The man said, if you can, he said, have mercy on us. If you can, heal my son. And what do the more English translations say? What do you mean if I can? Bring the boy to me. He could have said right at that point, it's not the will of God. Or God is put this on your family and your son for a reason. See, men say things. But if you look at these accounts, just because the man didn't get results through his disciples didn't mean it wasn't the will of God to deliver him or heal him. Because Jesus said, oh, faithless, unbelieving generation. So there you go. What was the problem? Unbelief. Lack of faith. And so he turned around and commanded that spirit to leave, didn't he? And it doesn't indicate that he ever had an issue after that. At least the Bible doesn't say. So you have to assume he was delivered. He was healed, right? So when people come up with stories like this, you need to go and pull some of these accounts out and say, oh, do you know this story in the Bible in Mark 9? And tell people, hey, look here. Just because somebody didn't get results doesn't mean that it's not God's will. You see. And so what happened here? You can read the rest of the story here. What did he say? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But, see, so now he didn't get results. Bring the boy to me. Now, just think about this. Somebody brings something, you know, in the natural, people will have all kinds of comments about what's going on, right? Oh, there's a problem here, you know, whatever. But Jesus didn't do that, didn't he? He started to talk spiritual here. What did he say to him? And isn't it interesting when this account is talked about, What does Jesus always do? He tries to locate where people are, where their faith is concerned. He never talked about the condition. He never talked about what that man believed or didn't believe. He began immediately to talk about, well, you faithless, faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? Haven't you got it yet? Haven't you been with me long enough to know that it's faith that operates and works? So he began to do what? Talk about faith. He began to discuss faith, right? And just think about this. You know, when we talk about just because someone didn't get results doesn't mean it wasn't the will of God. Think about what the disciples did. They couldn't they didn't know what to do, or they did something, right? But I mean, if you go back in the Gospels, I know in the book of Luke, Jesus pulled the disciples aside and gave them all power. Luke 10, he talks about how he gave them all power over to heal all kinds, all manner of sickness and disease, and to cast out demons. So they had the power. So it must have been just exactly what Jesus said, unbelief. A lack of faith. Just like, you know, maybe they saw something in the child, like Peter, get out and you look at the waves, and then all of a sudden you go, ah, maybe we don't have the power. You know, I'm reading into the story, but if they knew they had the power, they must have operated in it. So maybe this condition threw them a curveball. Maybe they began to look at the condition, and maybe they began to question something. Well, the minute you begin to question what you have, you're in doubt. You're in fear and not in faith. You see? But what happened? What did they do? After Jesus delivered the boy, after he commanded the spirit to go, what does it say? If you go down further in that chapter, it says, privately, the disciples asked them, how come we couldn't do that? So, isn't it interesting? They knew they missed it. They knew they needed to get an answer for something, right? So that the mere fact that they're asking, how come we couldn't do that, when Jesus gave them all power, right? They're not in faith. They're not in confidence. Something's disconnected. And what did Jesus say? He said, this kind cometh out by what? Prayer and fasting. Right. So he goes on with all of this, and so now, What did he share with the man? After this spirit begins to, he asks him, how often has this happened? He said, oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can believe, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I think the New Living says, if you can help us, if you can, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible. So obviously this must have been in the natural. It looked impossible to the man. And he said, just believe. Anything's possible. Anything. Now, isn't that interesting when Jesus said anything is possible? He could have said, all these things are possible, but this. He didn't say that. He said anything is possible to those who what? Believe. Hallelujah. So that means, just think about that for a moment. When you think about it, faith is possible to who? Only those who believe. I mean, think about it with the woman with the issue of blood. The disciples, Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean, who's touched you? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping up. You're in a crowd. So that means that everybody was touching him, but only one that touched him did power and virtue flow out of him. Only one. And it was the one that did what? Believe. So all things are possible to those who what? Believe. Hallelujah. So you can see here, God is emphasizing, I guess you could say, he's emphasizing faith in this account. He's emphasizing faith. And it's always good just to reflect. John 10:10, the thief what? Cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So if something in your life is stealing your time, stealing your health, stealing your money. It's not from God. It is not from God. It is not a test. Yeah, the trial of your faith worketh patience, but it's not coming from God. He's not the one testing you. And people come up with all these things. Well, you know, they make it sound like this mysterious God is doing something that we just don't understand and we don't know. Well, yes, we do. Just open your Bible. We know the will of God. He put it in black and white. He spoke through men and women of old. And he did that for the purpose of us knowing. Plus, we have the Holy Spirit. Plus, we have Jesus that lived out and reflected the will of God here. He spoke the will of God. He lived the will of God in front of us. So we know the will of God. So when people start to discuss those things, like we just don't know what the will of God is in this situation. Yes, I do. If it's sickness and disease, it didn't come from God. And his will is for me to be in health. His will is that I have life and life more abundantly. So I take it, I receive it, and I walk in it in the name of Jesus. And that's how we can bring the good news of the gospel to people, because a lot of times people just, you know, they're ignorant, they don't know. And they're doing the best they can, right? That's all they know. But let's take a look at 1 Peter just for a minute. Let's go over and take a look at 1 Peter 1:7. When Peter's talking about faith, this is a familiar scripture, 1 Peter 1:7. Says that the trial of what? Your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let me read this from the New Living. It says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. So that must mean there's, you know, I think the King James says, it talks about unfeigned faith. Feigned would be fake or not genuine. Unfeigned would be genuine. Unfeigned, genuine faith. It says, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So your faith, as far as the Bible's concerned, is what? Precious. God sees your faith as rare and precious. Because that's in Luke 18:8. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or the New Living, it says, when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? And so the implication there is that everybody may not have faith when he returns. He's saying, how many will I find who have faith when I return? So it is precious, it is rare. And so faith is something that in God's eyes is precious for him, right? So as we continue here in Mark 9, as this man, you know, now he's brought his son, and I like the Amplified in verse 22. It says, but if you can do anything, do have pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, you say to me, if you can do anything, why all things can be or are possible to him who believes. So that was Jesus' response to the man when he said, have mercy on us, or have pity on us. Help us if you can. You know, people do that today. They say, oh God, help us. And pray prayers like that. But what was the Father's response? He said, and straightway, or the New Living, it says, the Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Or actually, some other translations say, help me overcome my doubts. You know, he must have been struggling, or weakness of faith. So you can see here, at that point, he said, if you believe. He never said, you know, you need to accept this disease or this issue. You need to accept this. Deal with it. He never said that. Come, bring him. And he cast him out. He said, yeah, I'll help him. And commanded the spirit to leave, right? So we can see that what Jesus emphasized was that without faith, you're really not going to get results, are you? That's the key. That in order to get results in this earth, in order to get results with God, it's got to be done through faith. And the more I think about it, you know, all of us, if we don't exercise faith, you know, sometimes when we look and we go, well, why aren't we getting results? Sometimes, I'm not saying always, it can be, you know, he said, faith and patience. So sometimes there's a season for something. I'm believing God for something. But always remember, if people are involved, it can take time if there's some situations going on. But always remember, when it comes to our health, the minute we lay hands upon the sick, they begin to do what? Recover. So healing is something that, yeah, it may not be instant, but there's recovery going on. There's restoration going on. The body is recovering. And I know Pastor Hagin says it. He said all the time. So did his dad, Brother Hagin. If you don't see results in a certain amount of time, go to the doctor. You know, that may not sound like faith, but you know, he said there you need to go. Because for whatever the reason is, you see. I know just in my own case, you know, I had a number of times God supernaturally healed me. But in that one instance, I began to apply certain principles of the word in this situation in my life. And I didn't see a change after a year of pain. And when I dug my spiritual boots in. And the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And so for me, I had been and still committed to believe God in the word. We should. But sometimes God knows some things that you don't know. And that's all I'm going to say about that, that there may be something going on in your body that you may need some professional assistance. For me, it was a dietary change. Now, if I hadn't gotten that counsel, I'd have been charging down the road, and I needed to have that input in my life, which I made that change over 20 years ago. Just eating different. You know, as I call it, no more soda, wingdings, coffee, junk. You understand my point. It was a bad diet. And I needed someone to say, don't eat that anymore. So sometimes, even if you read Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth, he's got a chapter in his book, 22 Reasons Why Christians Don't Receive Their Healing. Number 5, almost at the top of the list, is violating natural laws. He wrote that back in the 1800s. So sometimes we need some counsel in some areas, And you can be eating something that's damaging yourself, like hitting your hand with a hammer, and you're praying God to heal it, and then you put something back in, and it's hurting you. So you need some help. Because the body will heal itself, just naturally. It'll heal itself. But you putting stuff in there to damage it, you need some counsel. You need somebody to say, don't do that. And you just may be ignorant. You just may not know, you know? Bad the way you were brought up or habits you have, you didn't know it was bad, right? That's just, I won't call it common sense, but sometimes we just don't have it. So faith, you know, the spiritual kind of things, faith will definitely, I believe, where God, you know, will heal us supernaturally. I've had those experiences. Supernatural. Boom. Healed. And we should. But be open to hear his voice. Be open to be led. Be open. That's all we're really saying. Believe the word. Embrace it. Speak it. But also listen. Right? Listen to his voice. Right? Because you can say, well, I'm going to go on this trip and there'll be no hurt or harm or damage, no accident or incident. And then he may say, wait 20 minutes. Well, I just prayed. And he's telling you, wait just a few minutes to get on the road. And you're like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Right? Silliness. Pray, believe God, but then be open and listen. That's all we're really saying. Where faith is, exercise faith, but then be sensitive to his voice, right? Listen to him. That's what gives us the, you know, where we overcome. So without faith, let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at this scripture. Because this is exactly what this man did here. Hebrews 11:6. In the King James, Hebrews 11:6, it says what? But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. Man, that's a strong statement, isn't it? It's not possible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I like some of these other translations. The Moffat translation says, apart from faith, it is impossible to satisfy him. The Jordan translation, it says, without living by the unseen, it is impossible to get such approval. For anyone who is serious about the God life must stake, S-T-A-K-E, stake everything on the fact that God is and that he amply rewards those who make him their quest. So we have to come to God believing that he what? He is. So think about it. What are the two conditions where faith is concerned? We have to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we could look at those two conditions. But think about it, you know, where faith is concerned, you don't have access to God. I mean, yes, we have access through Jesus, but you don't have access to God without faith. You can't be saved without faith. You can't receive from God without faith. You know, so there's so much. You can't get your prayers answered without faith. Faith doesn't come by praying. You can pray, but if you're going to pray, you got to pray in faith. So faith doesn't come by praying. Faith comes by how? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, and Jesus, they said, pray that we have more faith. He said, no, you don't pray to get faith. You feed on the word of God. Faith comes, right? So faith is key here, and That's what Jesus said to this man. He said, if you believe, all things are possible to those that believe. And what happened? The boy was delivered. He believed. He said, I do believe, but help me in this area here. I do believe. And the boy was delivered, wasn't he? So it is possible, that's the point we're making here tonight. If something looks impossible with God, it is possible. So that's sometimes so we always have to keep in mind, is that we walk and we're confronted with something. If it looks impossible with God, looks impossible to us, first thing we can say is, it is possible. We're going to do it. We're going to get there. We're going to do it. Sometimes you just have to say it in faith. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Your head's going, no way. You're not going to do this. And the minute you say something, your soul is going to say, mm-mm. Sometimes you just have to say it by faith. No, it doesn't look possible, but we are going to do it. It is possible. Brother Hagin lived his life that way. He told a story of this one woman who was in a wheelchair, and he said he took his Bible and he said, I was reading it today. It was today's entry yesterday, and he was talking about this woman that was confined to a wheelchair. He said he took his Bible. He said, at that time, I was not inspired to lay hands on the sick. I didn't have any kind of inspired healing anointing. He said, all I did was take my Bible. He said, I laid it on her lap, and I opened it to 1 Peter 2:24. And I said, read that. And she read it. And it said, da-da-da-da-da. She read it, and she said, then you were healed. And he said, well, now let me ask a question. What is were? She said, past tense. She said, well, if I were healed, then I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. And he said, so then, he said, in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. And he said, she did, and she got up and started to walk. But he said, I didn't do anything. He said, there wasn't any special anointing there to lay hands upon her. All I did was show her the word. So a lot of times we miss out. With God, things look are possible, but in impossible situations. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? So sometimes we just have to do what? Speak it in faith. Accept it in faith. If it says I was healed, then I am healed. And believe it. And unless God directs you in a different direction, see, always remember, healing, I want to talk about healing now, but if I believe that I was healed, how he brings that about, the method he uses, it's God who's the one that's going to do what? Watch over his word to perform it. He will direct me. I'm not there trying to figure out how it's going to come to pass. That's where we miss it. I have to do what? Believe that I am. I am healed. I am the delivered. I am financially sound. I'm blessed. You know, I think about this. This was, I'll tell you this story in close. I remember when God began to direct me in some areas where my finances were concerned. And I remember, you know, like Deacon Shirley says, you know, we're plunkers. We're not plunkers, we're sowers, right? And so I remember even coming to this church, you know, the word doesn't automatically just, I don't say reveal itself. It doesn't. You can hear the word for 2-3 months, a year, 2 years, and it may not dawn upon your heart. And you may go through some motions and do things, and not necessarily operate in what? Faith. Just keep getting the word, keep getting the word. And at some point, faith comes. So God began to direct me in the area where my giving was concerned. I began for a couple of years, I'm going, why am I not seeing the results of my giving? I'm sowing and I'm not seeing it. Big faith statement. So God began to deal with me about that in that area, and I began to sow. And I remember that I began to speak and begin to sow in faith. And I remember, I think about it now and I go, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm home and he said to me, I heard his voice. I know his voice. I know it. He said, buy Apple stock. Now, I at that point didn't really, here and there I have a few stocks, but I wasn't get the Wall Street Journal, open it up, let's see who's going up, who's going down. I wasn't that type of person. I just wasn't. And so I had some cash saved. I mean, I had some money saved. It was a decent amount. And he said, buy Apple stock. And I rejected it. I began to buy Apple stock. What? For what? Do you know what the price of Apple stock was when he spoke that to me? It was under $40 a share. And I don't want to have to tell you how high it went up before it split a whole lot of times. And I'm sitting there watching it go up, and I said, Father, have mercy upon me. Have mercy. Because I had been confessing that I'm blessed, my bank accounts are full, I'm sowing money, I'm doing this in faith, and I'm speaking by faith. He's trying to bless me. And I'm questioning the method. And that's the same thing where your health is concerned, where your finances are concerned, whatever it is, operate in faith, the word of God. And when you hear something, it can be strange. You know, you hear when our brother Larry Hutton was here, he said God told him to buy some artwork. God was trying to bless me. He said, we bought this artwork for this, sold it for this, and I made a whole lot of money off of it. So it may be strange and different and unusual and some path that you've never gone before or ever done. But if you know his voice, he'll never lead you into something that'll hurt you. It'll so that you can do what? Live life and life more abundantly. That means with health and extra money and prosperity and peace. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you today for just the word that we can think about and meditate on. And the more we do, we thank you that we're knowing your voice clearer and clearer. We sense your presence more clearly and more accurately. And we thank you, Father, that you are leading us into all truth. And we thank you that as you speak, we'll follow. And help us, Father, in these areas where maybe it's different or strange. Help us that when you speak, we know it's you, and to be absolutely convinced that you'll never lead us astray. And we thank you for it. We give you praise today. Thank you for blessing our families. Thank you for blessing our bank accounts. Thank you for blessing our bodies with health and sound minds. And we thank you, Father, that we are a light to this world. And so we thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Hope everybody's having a great day. We'll have a great week.